Mine?
Yes. Item 5 is a subdivision and rezoning at 578 Jesse Avenue under file DASZ9 of 2013. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will be heard at the same time. Item 6 is a variance at 578 Jesse Avenue under file DAV 108916 2013.
Thank you.
Members of the committee, good evening.
Mr. Steves.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Corey Steves is appearing for the applicants, and joined by Daniel McKibben.
Perfect. Thank
first
you.
While applicant there. Ready to proceed if you are?
Please.
Okay, thank you. You'll recall this is the property located at 578 Jesse. You'll recall last time we were here with respect to this block, there was discussions about different lots on the block and construction. At that time, it was discussed that there was that proceeding at that time, and there was one other property in the process of application, and this is that property. Okay, so that's... this is the last property our clients own on this block, and the last property they will own on this block. They have been actively approached and have said no and all those sorts of things. So in keeping with their word, which I think is important to the committee, that was a commitment they made and the commitment they plan on keeping. Two matters on your agenda, of course, today, the rezoning and the variance. It's... not a lot required by virtue of variance. It's a straightforward enough project whereby it's a 50-foot lot, which is being subdivided into two 25-foot lots on the property. And on both lots is going to be built, if it's the pleasure of the committee, two duplexes, a duplex on each lot, right? So two suites on each lot. There'll be two bedroom suites is what they are that will be existing. So grand total of four bedrooms on each lot, which is probably reasonably in keeping with your average amount of bedrooms on any given lot in the area, I would respectfully suggest, in any bungalow property. The you may have in your materials, and I won't bother handing it out because I don't know that I have an extra one or not, but this is not a corner lot, but it is. Daniel, if I get a picture of
it. Reference.
Yeah, if I could, here there.
If they reference 9 on their chart, or you can.
You can just take a quick so you can get the bird's eye view there. Just to give you an idea of where we're at on the block there. Yeah, it's in your report there. Not a corner lot, but it's on the it's adjacent to the corner lot between 578 and the corner lot is a vacant property, correct?
Owned by the brownstone.
Yeah, owned by the brownstone that is used. So it's immediately adjacent to a higher density multifamily building, which is on the corner of the lot. You're, of course, you're well familiar with the. With the process and the direction of the R. Winnipeg strategy and the neighborhoods in transition and the moderate growth neighborhoods, whereby higher density multifamily on the corner lots and then sort of tapers in from there, perfectly in keeping with that idea. There is higher density across, I guess that's the back lane on the other side, right? So, yeah, it's adjacent to some higher density properties in the area. The variances are only variances which essentially flow from the fact that the property is being subdivided, sort of de facto. So the lot area, the fact that there's two homes on the 25 feet sort of trigger the variance structure. And there is one variance that speaks directly to changing one of the side yards, only from 3 feet to 2 feet. But I'd point out quickly that that's the inside. So the only variance that's being asked for is on the inside of the two new properties, which I think might even qualify for a tolerance if memory serves. I won't drag you through every detail of the report, only to, again, as always, thank Mr. Robinson for working with us throughout the course of these reports. They are both positive recommendations from your administration in keeping with the strategy of the R Winnipeg policy. And it talks again about the in the subdivision report, it talks about the supporting the low to moderate change in low density neighborhoods, specifically speaking of promoting a mix of housing types, and they specifically mention the duplex in item number 3, and providing the assurance that it falls within the existing development and new development guidelines and development standards under the infill development guidelines as listed in the report. The context matches up, and of course you'll be aware that with respect to the urban design, the rear yard setbacks are in keeping with everything that is required. The front yard setbacks are in keeping with everything that is required. The main building facade is orientated the right way. The height is virtually bang on, maybe a couple of inches off, lower, or whatever it happened. Yeah, a couple of inches lower, not much, but to the 35 feet from the midpoint. Those conditions, I don't think would require a lot of further investigation because there's not, as stated, this is not sort of comparatively speaking a project that requires a lot of that type of tweaking in these circumstances. It does mention at the end of the report there are the zoning for other duplexes on the block, and you're familiar with that as well. There was public consultation that was held with respect to the property. That was held back in December of 2012 at the outset of the of the process, and then going through the application process, working through issues to whatever extent they existed with the neighborhood. And in this case, I don't think it was an overwhelming amount of resistance from folks in the neighborhood, although I anticipate there may be some issues, which of course is appropriate to discuss.
How many people attended?
What's that?
How many people attended
the actual meeting? Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. And there was still only some resistance, even though.
Yeah. Well, we don't pitch no hitters all the time, of course. Yeah, it's
invisible people can exist.
It is one of those things. It is one of those things.
Where do you find these individuals?
Yeah.
We've had plans requested from us at our office that we provide to people that are willing to contact us, and we can show them what we're designing, and we'll give them plans because they aren't available immediately from the city once we've made the application. So we've done that. Yeah.
And worth noting, I think, that the based on the informal discussions, and we're asked Daniel to show you the design in just a moment, but the design has evolved based on those discussions to, as always, a more contemporary feel, which seems to be in keeping with the wishes of people in the neighborhood, which is fine. I mean, there's always some architectural ideas that the applicant would like to explore, but isn't always in keeping with the wishes of the neighborhood. So, c'est la vie, I suppose, and we move from there. I a point of interest before, well, perhaps we'll do is I'll ask Daniel to show you, give you a brief walkthrough what the property will look like, if that's okay.
We have the application of the city. We are complying with all the applied for offsets, heights, and of note, we are complying with the 50-foot rear yard. That was something we really wanted to do. We took out there's no parking structure on this building, on this lot. We wanted to make sure we had a backyard or at least space for light to come through that backyard. And that's what we've done. We're showing parking on that we're showing seven parking stalls in the application, and that's what we'll provide, so there is definitely no excess parking in the street. Almost, we can show up to seven in that area. We do not require that by the bylaw of the city, but when we get further in our process of this, we'll see how that develops. But some other things that came up was, yes, we complied with the rear offset, the front offset, and the side offsets, but we were said that, yes, you are permitted a 35-foot roof to your midpoint, but it does still feel high. And something that with the initial application is the roof is fairly minimal, but complies with the midpoint calculation. We reworked our roof design a bit to bring down the eaves at the front of the building down to 30 feet so that it goes up from 30 to the midpoint, 35, and then higher beyond that. So just to get a better feeling to the structure. It's the same, it calculates the same midpoint, so it doesn't change our numbers in our application, but it gives a lower feel to the facade of it, to the street. We thought that was a worthwhile endeavor. I have some drawings here, maybe they're worthwhile looking at or not, but that just reflect that aesthetic change, but there's no change in any values or numbers that we applied for. So I can pass those out, or you can just take it for a word if you want.
Yeah, please.
All right.
It's previous dwellings of this style that they're always over under. They're not duplexes in the nature of like side by side on the same lot. We feel it's a nice aesthetic. It kind of gives that second story living to a particular clientele, and we like the idea of having a walk up for some people just don't really like stairs and they'd like to have the bungalow style single level dwelling. In this case, we are providing we're providing a first level and a mezzanine within the same building. It is technically a two-story structure, but there is room for living space of two levels within each unit. We are not required to conform to the mezzanine calculation of this particular structure, but we have. It is something that we wanted to do with this particular building. I don't know. I guess it's really beyond this. If there's any questions or
questions.
I don't think I have any at this point.
We'll bring you back if there is.
Yeah. Sorry if I
Great, thank you.
Okay.
There's nobody else in
support? No.
Nobody else here, yeah.
Yeah, right. Come on up, Trisha. And I believe you're going to leave.
I'm speaking on behalf of Cheryl Hobbs.
Yeah, do you want to, do you have the letter there you can read out loud, or can we do that, or?
It was already submitted before the meeting, but that's a copy of it.
Okay, so you don't get
that. It's just a short.
Yeah, that's fine, read it.
You know, I don't know whether there have been any changes in the plans since Cheryl prepared this presentation. She's been gone since the beginning of the month, so
you'll
just sort of have to take that into consideration if it's not entirely accurate.
Thank you.
So I'll read it. My name is Cheryl Hobbs. I've lived at 573 Jesse Avenue since 1979, across the street from the proposed development at 578. I'm out of town at this time. Pat Holdbrow has agreed to read my letter to the committee. I viewed the plan for this development as shown to me by Mr. Walter online in April 2013. I told him personally by email of my concerns about the project. I received no reply, and there has been no open house regarding this project. I am opposed to the proposed subdivision and variances for 578 Jesse and to rezoning the property if it means that the regulations for mature and stable communities in our Winnipeg, including the complete communities direction strategy, will be again ignored as with the previous developments on this block, but also because there have been far too many of these massive developments on this block on Jesse. I'm opposed to the height at four levels. Even three stories is too much, and again, the significant loss of green space of this development. The development requires major variances in order to be approved, particularly allowing the subdivision and then approval of a variance to build a multifamily dwelling on a 3,000 square foot lot instead of the required 5,000 square feet, or 1,500 square feet per unit instead of 2,500 square feet per unit. I acknowledge that it does not have egregious rear yard massing of the previous developments, but do not think it is acceptable to replace one kind of excessive massing for another. It is not sensitive to or characteristic of the neighborhood, and is not designed to the existing built form of the surrounding neighborhood, both mandated by our Winnipeg. The normal home on this block has 1 to 2.5 stories. I was under the impression that no further developments above 2 stories were to be allowed on the interior of this block. Variances should not be given to allow a building that is not consistent with our Winnipeg. This is the 5th such development application in 1 year on this block, but is the first development that does not have existing neighbors immediately adjacent to it, being bordered by an empty lot on one side and one of the other empty approved developments on the other. This means that there are no deals with existing neighbors, and therefore this development could be considered on its own merit. There seems to be some confusion about the validity of our Winnipeg. Our Winnipeg and the Complete Communities Direction Strategy was passed by Council as a bylaw in 2011. It is the official development plan guiding growth and change for the city and was created at great expense to the taxpayers of this city. As a bylaw, it should have as much authority as bylaw 200/2006. Our Winnipeg is supposed to present a 25-year vision for the entire city, but is different from bylaw 200/2006 in that it provides different requirements for different types of communities, like my mature, stable community. It is not reasonable that this document be sidelined. In particular, it gives specific requirements for infill development, intended to encourage development with the long-term health and needs of the community in mind. This allows the city to consider the entire community and not just one development at a time. The transformation of this neighborhood by so many developments on one block at one time is not just or reasonable. If this project is approved, there will be 19 new, very large condo units on this 28-lot block, which are not consistent in design, size, and lack of green space with the surrounding community, and will have a real and negative impact on the entire neighborhood. Our Winnipeg should be utilized and enforced in the decision regarding this development. As well as my understanding that our Winnipeg encourages intensification in neighborhoods such as mine to occur on corners and along corridors. This development is on an interior lot, and Jesse Avenue is not a corridor. It has often been noted that, unfortunately, infill is occasionally necessary in these older neighborhoods, giving the impression that these houses that are being demolished and replaced are derelict and in need of replacement. I would like to make it clear that all the houses being replaced on this block are perfectly good family homes or multifamily rental properties, and indeed if they had been put on the market in the spring of 2012, they would have sold quickly and would now have been lived in for a year by new families for our community. The house at 578 Jesse Avenue is a two-story home that was built in 1983. It is not a derelict house. The developer says that his clients need units of 1,500 square feet, even though I noticed that one of the two units at 589 Jesse is actually 1,800 square feet. This is larger than my own house. It is important to remember that these clients he speaks of are not going to be living in these developments. They're speculators, and in the case of 578, owned by a numbered company. The people who will be living in these developments are not known at this time. Indeed, this developer's track record for his developments in the area actually being lived in is not good. His own unit at 668 Jesse, now a Hugo address, has been up for sale for several months and is still not sold, whereas a multiple family home with much smaller units on the same block has already sold quite quickly in the same time frame. Recent statistics show that overall housing sales in the city were down 21% in February, but that the sale of bungalows in my area increased the most of any housing type. Perhaps luxury condos in our area are not even desirable. This would seem to be an experiment using my community. Maybe some dramatic change will occur and these units will be sold and lived in, but allowing 19 to be built in one block seems to be an unreasonable gamble. It will also, as it has been said, that 50-foot lots are obsolete in the city. I interpret that to mean that they are considered obsolete in this Fort Rouge area. It is not unreasonable for our area to have 50-foot lots, just as other more affluent areas in this city center do. 50-foot lots with normal-sized houses tend to have more green space, which is definitely healthy for neighborhoods. This block was unusual in having more than the usual number of 50-foot lots, and the loss of many of them and filling them with buildings and cement is going to negatively impact our neighborhood. I would also like to remind the committee that this community has not opposed development per se. It has just asked that the rules and regulations be followed in a fair and balanced way, that the developments which are approved enhance the neighborhood, are not overpowering or transformative, and meet the criteria of our Winnipeg. In summary, this committee not only has the right but the obligation to make sure that proposed developments are in the best long-term interest of the community and that the rights of taxpaying citizens and existing homeowners are safeguarded. The tools to do this are there. Part of this committee's function is to provide political oversight to the planning department and guidance to developers of what is acceptable in the community. There has been approval of too many condo developments on this block using major variances to allow them. Any further variances are not warranted. Our Winnipeg does not mandate maximizing profits for developers and speculators. This developer should be encouraged to build smaller developments that are in keeping with the community. This would require smaller units, but there is precedence for this in the Osborne area. Please stand up for my community and reject the subdivision and rezoning of yet another oversized development. Thank you, Cheryl Hobbs.
Councillor, anybody questions?
Pat, are you just reading that, or are you here as
I don't feel like if there are questions, I'm not prepared to answer them. Because Cheryl was out of town and for an extended time, I agreed to do the presentation on her behalf.
Yeah. Yeah, I won't answer your questions. Thank you, Pat.
Okay, ready to move on. Anybody else in opposition? No. Would the applicant like to come back up?
Thank the delegation for the comments. We'll be brief. I'll cover only a couple of things. With respect to the comments on the policy, I hope it's clear by virtue of the report that we work with the administration to come within policy. That's what we do. We have in the past, historically, there has been situations where negative reports have come forward and we have unilaterally withdrawn those and not put those in front of this committee. It's just not something we do. We don't ask for things that your administration does not support. When the discussion happens with respect to our Winnipeg, the reports deal virtually exclusively with our Winnipeg and how this project fits within the our Winnipeg strategy. So I don't know, and it's possible perhaps the writer of the letter didn't have a chance to see the actual report, so I don't know how that dynamic worked. But with respect to the actual policy, I think it might be worthwhile just to take 1 second, and I'll just hand this document to Mr. Clerk.
Can you hand it?
In response to
what's been said earlier, but not really supposed to present new information.
No, I'll tell you what,
I won't even worry about it.
It's just the document which would have been part of a response, but it's not necessary. It just shows how in the neighborhood over the course of the last 30 years, the population has declined significantly, about 50% in the Earl Grey neighborhood of Winnipeg. And the policy, which is stewarded by your administration, is designed to deal with precisely that dynamic. It's not only this neighborhood, it's many neighborhoods on the interior of Winnipeg and on the shoulders of the interior of Winnipeg. They're very desirable neighborhoods that people want to live in, but they do want housing choice and stock choice in terms of where they want to live. Again, I think last time I was here, I may have given the example of the houses that we grew up in, where there was sort of mom, dad, several kids, whatever it happened to be, living in the house. And the same thing across the street beside you and all over the place. And I think I used my own street as an example where there was, at the time I grew up, there were the six houses that surrounded my house. There were 30 people living in those houses. If I go back to visit Grandma and Grandpa today with my kids, there's about seven now. And that's the reality in a lot of neighborhoods. So we're looking to evolve housing stock. And that's why the Our Winnipeg policy, I think, has been so lauded for the work that it does, because it tries to gently and reasonably move from some of the historical traditions we've had sort of gently into what we see as a bit of a new reality without upsetting, well, perhaps not perfectly not upsetting everybody, but without upsetting the expectations and the wishes of the community. We think at the end of the day these are reasonable developments. These are developments that are done in concert with your administration and to as large an extent as possible in concert and in working with members of the community who are interested in working on these types of projects. So with that, we're hoping that we can impress upon the committee that that we would again ask for your support for this, the final project that Mr. Walton will be doing on the block.
No, thank you. And I guess I just, when you look at some of the analysis on in the report, it says support low. This is sort of the infill guidelines we have, which are, or I guess that's our Winnipeg. Support low to moderate change in low-density neighborhoods through development and redevelopment that is complementary to existing scale, character, and built form. And, you know, some of the issues in all of these developments we've had over the while, you know, the backyard issue was a really big one. In this case, you've modified that. The front yard has been an issue. The side yards, various things. And obviously, you know, in the course of going through some of these developments, the issue I don't think I heard ever in these hearings, people saying, oh, no, we can't have a duplex or we can't have a little bit of it. That's never even been the issue. The issue is how well it fits in with the context of the area. So, and I, you know, I realize that you've come a long way in this to this point, especially the 50-foot backyard is significant. I'm not sure why you need that many parking stalls in a supposed to be transit-oriented development, but there seems to be a desire for a lot of cars to come into the neighborhood. But other than that, and you know, there's some valid points about the size that these structures have to be. If we're talking density, you know, it'd be, this is, if you don't mind me just making a few comments, like I just for discussion, I mean, the one issue I still can't seem to get across is I don't understand, other than the amount of money that's being made, that these projects have to be so big. Obviously, they're more profitable, but I mean, you could build duplexes that would fit into the neighborhood a lot easier in other spots. In this particular spot, which is what we're talking about, you know, it's almost impossible to say no to it. Of course, it meets every criteria according to the planning department. And I'm sure it would just be overturned at a future committee if I said no. And the only reason I would say no would be the fact that this is number 6, actually, I think, isn't it? Counting the one on Nassau and Jesse. And that isn't low to moderate change when you take out 6 properties on one block. So that, I believe, is in violation of our Winnipeg. But the rest of everything else is hard to argue with. But I think but we don't look at that. We look at one project at a time. We don't look at the whole picture, which is what we should be doing in a planning process and in other things. But those things aren't moving along too quickly. So I guess my point is I'm sympathetic to the concerns of the residents about because of the amount of change. And I also appreciate that you guys have come a long way. You've said this is the last one. And we're taking you on that word.
This is the last one?
This is the last one on this block.
He's not coming to see you here?
Well, no.
On this block, he's
coming on some cat issues.
They don't have any more properties. And so, you know, I'm going to be supporting it. But I just thought it's important to understand that, you know, sometimes things are bigger picture things than each individual property. We look at here each individual property. And unfortunately, we can't really look at the big picture. We also are looking at infill guidelines specifically for mature neighborhoods, which we moved a motion about earlier just for your information, which I think would help as part of an overall planning process, and that could be part of that, to guide some of these discussions. Because, you know, basically we've had to handle this through each development with meetings with planning and me before the application goes in with residents, trying to tweak it to address some of the concerns. And we've tried to do that, and I appreciate that you have moved on that and you've listened to it. You know, at this point, the backyard issue is finally being addressed. It's been a long way to get to that, but I do appreciate it. I don't mean to be unappreciative of that. But, I mean, some of the residents are still having this massive change of construction zone for several years to come.
Something that.
So I just, those are just my comments.
It's kind of, some of these lots are adjacent, like that we're working on. And we would have loved to have developed something that would have spanned multiple lots with a much more minimal, like honoring front setbacks, bigger side yards to the neighbors, respecting the rear offsets, if we could have spanned all the lots. But that was not, there's no precedent, there's no way for us to zone and to propose a building that meets these guidelines in that area.
Well, we are where we are today because we've had to do things just, and it's not anybody's fault in sort of a piecemeal fashion, because that's how everything has worked. So and we don't yet have a neighborhood plan to follow, so we do things one at a time. So that's where we are today. I'm not sure. It hasn't been all that much fun. I'm glad this is the last one on Jesse. But I thank you for being accommodating. Thank you for accommodating some of the neighborhood concerns, like the backyard setbacks and other things. I do realize you have accommodated that. And I thank the planning department, too, for raising some of those concerns. And so thank you. I hope you don't mind me making a few comments.
No, not at all.
Wait, Councilor Smith. You're not getting that easy.
No.
I'll be supporting the councillor on this this motion. But I'm upset over the fact, this is sort of novel, that has so many properties in one block. And I think the comments that the residents have made and what Councillor Gervasi has made just now is sensible. It's you know, so like, I'll be supportive, but I'm glad this is the last time I'm going to see you, Gord.
Well, geez.
On this block.
On this block, yes.
Okay.
Thank you, councillors.
Love for you, Trevor.
Thank you.
All right, great.
You know we jest.
It's okay, Gordon.
Okay. May I proceed? I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
For your opposed, carried.
I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All support, opposed, carried.
Right. I move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in and forwarded to the Standing Policy Committee for Property and Development.
All support, opposed, carried.
I move the following supporting reasons, namely that I'm going to say that there has been a commitment not to, for this particular, not to have further duplexes or further developments from this particular
block
from this particular developer, because there's been so many that it's been a significant change. But that's the last one of several. Also that there are minimal variances in terms of a acceptable backyard setback and front yard setback.
Okay.
So I guess that'll be my reasons. I move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded. That's one reason.
Hearing. All right.
Please note the committee has made a recommendation on this matter that will now proceed to council. No further representations are permitted, and all persons registered at the public hearing will receive notice when the matter is considered by council.
And on the variance, I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read. I move the receipt of public representations be concluded.
Right.
I move the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in.
Right.
And I move the City of Winnipeg Charter so that the law are satisfied. And I move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
Please note the committee's decision with respect to this application may be appealed. Should you wish to appeal, information on how to do so will be included in the order issued, which will be mailed to all persons registered.
Move to adjourn.